8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hi guys, it's Professor Jen here. I'm waving at you, but you can't see me. So I am excited because tonight is podcast number 10. Woohoo! We made it to double digits! Yay! And before we get on to what podcast number 10 is about, I would like to tell you guys about the music that we have in our background because a couple of you have asked. And the CD we have playing right now is by a husband and wife from the UK. And their music is amazing. Great soaking music, great worship music. You can check them out at julianandmelissawiggins.bandcamp.com. And go there and look at all their CDs. Get some of them if you want. They're really good. I know you're going to love them. Okay, on to tonight's episode. This is the third episode to Heaven Invasion series. And Kat is still speaking at the Shekinah Restoration Center in Canada. And it's a very good one. She dives deeper into more of what she saw in heaven on her trips there. She talks a lot about the throne room in more detail. And then she goes on to sharing about her testimony, why she has the pink hair, and the process she had to go through to where God got her to where she is now. And then towards the end, she starts speaking about the aborted and miscarried babies in heaven. And it's a very sensitive subject. The revelation she shares is going to really bless a lot of people. So I know you guys are going to enjoy it and be blessed and touched by it. And I have to share something with you. Earlier today, we were discussing the podcast and what we were going to do. The area we were in was out near the beach. And there were dragonflies flying around everywhere. And I just couldn't stop giggling because in her second book, she has an illustration of the baby's play pond. Dragonflies in heaven are one of the ways the Lord gets messages to the babies. They will come and tell the babies when it's time to go back to the nursery because Jesus wants to see them. And it's just a really cute picture. So we're going to use a portion of that picture for the podcast. So you guys will get to see a little portion of that picture from her book too. So I hope you guys are blessed by tonight. Leave us some comments. Let us know what you think. Blessings to you all, and we'll see you next time. Bye!
You can be seated. And yes, I do that in my home all the time, and so should you. You want the atmosphere in your home to change? You're going to have to do it. If you're tired of the attacks of the enemy, if you're sick of the situation you're in, if you want to get rid of lack, if you want to get rid of attitudes, if you want to shut the door in the enemy's face, start shouting glories to God. He is not going to hang around and listen. In your worst desperate times, that is the most powerful thing you can do, is to praise God. All of heaven will come to your rescue. I have experienced it many times. You give the enemy a bad, bad day because he can't put you in a little peg hole like everyone else and make them squirm and cry and be defeated. We are supposed to live in victory. Jesus lives within us. We're supposed to be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you know what that means? The same resurrection power that took Christ from the grave lives on the inside of you. You have the power over all the power of the enemy. You need to understand that you can exercise that whenever you want to. So start doing it. Devil, you're not coming in my house. I'm not letting you in. I don't care how you think you got in here. You're evicted in Jesus' name. And then glorify his name. You start your day like that, and it'll change your life. Another thing I'm going to tell you, and I'm not waiting till the end this time, because he wants you to know this. I can tell you something that will change your life tomorrow, and it won't cost you anything. Before you get out of your bed in the morning, you will look up to heaven and say, Father, I ask for and receive grace for this day. Heaven will download fuel into your being for everything that you will face that day. They already know what it is. When you do that, you are empowered before you ever get out of your bed. Grace saves you, but there is grace to last for the rest of your life. It's like manna in the wilderness. They didn't have it unless they went and got it. The word says that you can come before the throne of grace for help in time of need. Do you need help? Every day of our life we do, because we're going to face situations we don't know about, but guess who knows? They do. It is fuel from heaven, literally, that will transform your life. People will notice a difference immediately because you're not going to get offended. You're not going to grumble. You're not going to complain. You're not going to get in fear because you have already received everything you need to make it through that day in victory. It transformed my life even after I had gone to heaven for many years when the Father told me that. It's available for my people, but they don't know it. My people perish for lack of knowledge. This is one little thing that will literally change your life. If you can get your whole family to do it, you will have peace and harmony in your home like you never have before. If you own a business and you know the employees personally, if you can get them to do it, you will transform the atmosphere in your business overnight. People won't gripe and complain about helping people. They won't get angry when things aren't done. It is the most amazing thing that can happen in your life. I was a different person. I was prepared for that day. If I go out of my room and I haven't asked, my family will point at me within 2 minutes and say, go get it. Because they're going to see me and hear me in the flesh. And that isn't a pretty thing for anybody. It helps you keep your flesh under control because you've already been empowered by heaven. They know everything. It's not going to face what comes your way. It will completely, totally, radically change the way you respond to it. People are going to wonder what's wrong with you. If a crisis happens, if there's bad news, it won't move you because you already have what you need to be victorious. And I know it might sound wild. I dare you to try it. And it won't take a week. It'll start the day you do it. If you're under real stress or more stress comes that day, guess what? You can get more. You can get another fill-up. You just ask. It is absolutely life-transforming. And I'm telling you, I tell this to everyone where I go because the Lord makes me do it. He wants to see a happier people. He wants his people to be victorious. That doesn't mean you can't get in the Word. And let me tell you this, if you don't learn it here, you're going to school in heaven because they have Word University there. The Word is eternal. You will learn the Word of God. Wouldn't you rather teach it there? You're either going to teach it or you're going to be a student. And you won't escape by leaving, you know, just reading a few little chapters here and there. You will learn the entire Word of God. Of course, it will be the revealed Word of God with the revelation from the Holy Spirit, which brings life. It isn't about a head knowledge. It's about you becoming the living Word of God. I don't need to carry my Bible with me because it lives on the inside of me. I have written it on the walls of my heart. When you speak that word forth, it transforms because the truth will make you free. And you just had some truth from heaven. So let me encourage you, your life can be different. God is about to shake this area. I didn't come here because I thought it was a good idea. I have a lot of places I could go. This is not just a visit to Canada. This is the revelation of heaven being released to the world. And I'll tell you right now, anyone who contributed in any way to get me here, to keep me here, or to send me anywhere else will have a tremendous reward, not just here, but in eternity, because you will be giving to the world to receive this revelation. You will be getting reward the same as me. And you don't even have to leave here. God is wanting to understand that when you give to something that's Him, you get rewarded. When you're faithful, like to your pastor, who God has appointed for this area, and I can tell you, there's a reason why we came to them. He said, I'm going to open a gate to the world. That gate you go through, I will explode. I will empower. I will visit. I will give revelation. Do you know who that is? It is the Pattersons. And I know some people might not think much of them, but guess who does? He judges by the heart, not how educated you are, not how experienced you are, not how wise you are. It's the heart that he judges, and he finds them worthy. If you don't have a church, I would encourage you to go there because something awesome is about to happen through them. They are going to be the gate that God goes through and takes this word to the world. They also will receive the same reward that I will. I knew that the day they called and invited me because I've been waiting. He said, you're about to go to the world and I'm going to open a gate. The first place you go to internationally is that gate. This is the first time I've ever taken this revelation internationally. All of you who are present are blessed because you're the first of the world to hear it. So you should be blessed, and just let's give the Lord another hand. Thank you, Lord, for releasing this revelation into the country of Canada. And I want you to know where it's released, the fire starts there. Your lives are going to be radically changed whether you want them to or not, because this fire, no one can stop. Not the enemy, not man, not anything. Not a government. It doesn't consider borders. It doesn't consider government regulations because he made everything and he's going to do what he wants to. This time and hour is for him to have one of the greatest outpourings this earth will ever see. You people are blessed because you get to live in it and be a part of it. This is not for next year, not 5 years down the road. It will transform life as you know it. It's the passion, the fire, the love that sent Christ to the cross. God is sending it to this earth. People have been crying out to send the fire, but they didn't even know what it was. It's going to pierce the heart of every one of his people. It will transform you. You will no longer fight and argue. You will no longer be angry or hate. Denominational walls will fall, and man can't stop it. Because this is God's desire. The world will know them by their love for each other. Not their fighting, their bickering, their complaining, their differences. You know what? We all need Jesus. The rest of it really doesn't matter. Because you have to have him to get into heaven. And let me tell you, nobody wants to miss it. It is one of the most awesome, amazing places you will ever exist. God created it for every one of you. He created it for all human beings. Hell was never meant to hold humans. That was meant for the devil and his demons, not people. We are made in God's image. He wants to empower us. We are his sons and his daughters. He wants us to operate like him. But we ourselves are our worst enemy, not Satan. It's us. We hold God back from coming to us. We hold ourselves back from receiving from him. And one of the ways we do it the most is this little thing right here in our mouth. The word says it holds the power of life and death. What you speak with your mouth has everything to do with where you are right now in your life. You can say all you want to. You love the Lord, you serve the Lord, and you love people. But when you use this as a weapon for the enemy, you invite him You give him permission to come into your life, your home, and your family's lives, especially if you're the head of the house. You're meant to be a guardian and a protector. You need to declare what God says. That's what the word says. You're supposed to speak life, encouragement, edification. You're supposed to declare what God wants over people's lives, not what you're seeing with your eyes. If you want a family member to change, stop saying what they're doing. Stop telling everybody else what they're doing. If you say, Father, I want you to save them, then don't turn around and say how awful they are. Lousy, mean, hateful, bitter, spiteful. You have just tagged them. You just wiped out your prayer. You can pray all day long, and every time you turn around and say the negative things about them, you canceled your prayer. You may be the only hope that family member or friend has to make it to heaven. When you stand in the gap for somebody, and I mean stand, and declare that you want them to know the Lord, that they will be a mighty man or woman of God, that they will not miss their destiny, the Father loves them, he purposed for them to belong to him, you release great power on their behalf for their salvation. That's what God wants you to say. Even if they're mean, even if they hate you, that's what walking in love is called. That's what he means when he says, lay down your life for another. That doesn't mean take a bullet. That would be too easy. Then you wouldn't have to give up your flesh, your opinions, your ideas, what you want. You'd have to walk like Christ did, and he loved the very ones who crucified him. I know I'm preaching, but this is what he wants me to say. I have no agenda. I only speak what the Holy Spirit tells me to speak. He wants you to know these things because he's about to empower this entire area. You want to be a part of what he's doing. Not only will he change your life, your love, your family, your business, he is about to release wealth to the people he can trust to keep it, hold it, and use it for him where he wants. I'm not talking about a little bit. He owns everything. And let me tell you, he does. He created it, and I don't care who has it in their hands, it belongs to him. He's about to change the scene, and you can just mark my words, the world will not own it. He is about to give it to his people. They'll have to go to them for help. The government's not helping, and no government could fix what's wrong with this earth. Only God can. And he wants to, but you have to be in a place to receive it. If you're not, before the end of today, you will be, because we're all going to pray and declare to wipe our records clean. I'm not talking about sins. If you've already done that, I'm talking about things you've said with your mouth. Because when you start declaring things against people, you can actually withhold blessings that God is waiting to give you. It really, he can. You wonder why your prayers aren't answered. And I'm not saying everybody does that. There are very precious people in this place who've used their mouths the right way. They're already sealed for this transfer of wealth. They don't have to worry about it. But the reason God gives correction is because he loves you. If he didn't care about you, he'd just let you go on with your life the way it is. He wants you to live victorious. He wants you to stomp on the enemy's head. He wants you to give him the worst days he's ever had. It's about time that God's people stood up and acted like he actually exists. If you want to know, the thing that bothers the Lord the most is the fact that his own people sometimes don't believe him. He has the ability to do anything that you can believe him for. The word says, with God, all things are possible. And the people in the past that believed that, they got great reward. So now I'm going to start sharing about heaven, and in a little while, we're going to make that declaration. The throne room of God is the most amazing place in heaven. It talks about it many places in the Bible. In Revelation 4 is my favorite verse. It talks about the throne of God. It talks about the living creatures, the elders, the lampstands. But even in your wild, wildest imagination, you can't picture it. It is so holy. so powerful, so awesome, and filled with fun. This is going to be a shock to a lot of people, and this is one of the things that I get criticized the most about, a lot from leaders who don't understand. God is holy, but he's not boring. How could he be boring? He made all of us. Don't you think he wants you to enjoy yourself here? He does, yes. You can be holy and have fun. Heaven is holy, but it is filled with adventure. And I came from a long line of holiness people. That was my favorite thing to talk about. Send the fire to burn them up because they're not obeying. And he didn't like me saying that. So he decided to take me to heaven and show me what they think and what he's prepared for his people. He never took me for me. I've never seen my mansion. I've seen my father about one time, and it was in a distance. He never saw me. He took me so that everyone here would know what heaven is really like, what he's prepared for those that love him, the fact that he wants everyone to come there. The throne room is so huge, you cannot see the end of it. The sea of glass that he talks about, if you've been out by the ocean or the lake on a moonlit night and you see those sparkles and it glistens all over it, that's what it looks like. It's amazing. Even the floor of the throne room is filled with life. The buildings in heaven are filled with life. They can't help it because the giver of life lives there. The living creatures that are around the throne of God are tremendous. It mentions them. Yes, there are strange things in heaven. And I know they think they're weird to us, but guess what? They were there before us. We're strange to them. They're probably still wondering why God made us. But you know what? God's not sorry he made you. No matter what you've done in your life, no matter where you've gone or what you haven't done that he's asked you to do, he would come and die all over for you. If you were the only person that existed on this planet and you needed salvation, he would have still gone to the cross. Every drop of blood he shed, he did it out of love. He didn't have to. And he did far more than just die on the cross. He forever changed for eternity his physical appearance. He was not encased in a body. He was free. He decided to forever change his features. He can never get rid of the body. He can change his appearance, but that is now his home. Do you know what it would be like to be the all-knowing, all-powerful God that created everything, and then to be willing to humble yourself to be put into the body of a human being? It's overwhelming if you ever get it. Forever transformed, forever changed. He made that decision because of love, because there was no other way to bring you back to him, to allow you to go to heaven. And do you know that no human being lived in heaven before Christ died on the cross? There was no way to get in there. You couldn't have gotten in. You weren't holy. Everyone else before that time who was found and counted as righteous, they went to Abraham's bosom. That is not heaven. In Abraham's bosom, you could see into hell. In heaven, you do not see into hell. There was a separation between them, but you know what? You still eat. You still eat. You still drink in heaven. Christ did after he was resurrected. And guess what? The dead and the wicked in hell, they still get hungry. They never eat. They get thirsty. They never get drink. They get tired. They can never rest. That's agony in itself. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about hell, but I have been there. And you do not want your worst enemy to go there. It is a horrible, horrible place. The mental torture with the fear is the worst part because they know they can never escape. Everyone who goes to heaven must accept Jesus Christ. It is the only way. I know many nations believe there are other gods, but I'm going to tell you today there is a difference between what they believe and what we believe. All the other religions are man reaching out to find God. Christianity is the only religion that God reaches down to man. So if anybody tells you there's no difference, you can tell them that answer. He's the only one that reached out because he's the only one that's true and living. He wants you to know that he loves you. This place is fantastic. The living creatures are tremendous beings. There are many different types, but the four I'm going to talk about are the ones that are around the throne of God. One has the head of a lion. He is massive. One has the head of an eagle. One has the head of an ox. And one has the head of a man. And a lot of people say, that man looks like Jesus. No, he doesn't. He does not look like Jesus. He represents man. He's a representation of man, but he really doesn't look like anybody. These creatures are very powerful beings. They have been with God from the beginning, and there's a reason why he created them. He didn't have a people to praise him. He didn't have anyone to glorify his name. He created them, and he placed them in the places they're at because he gets caught in the crossfire of their worship. They declare, holy, holy, holy. The building shakes. It sounds like thunder and lightning. Power is released from their mouths with glory in it. He is caught in the middle of that glory. And because they are worshiping him, they love him, but they're not us. He wants us to do that. That's why he created us, to have a people that he could love and that could love him. There's no mystery to life. There's no mystery to why you're here. He wanted you to be a part of his family. That's the mystery. You just have to figure out how to get there. These creatures are so awesome. They have eyes in their bodies. They don't walk on all fours. They walk upright like you and I. They have garments that you can see through, and even through their garments, you see hundreds of eyes in their front, in the back. They miss absolutely nothing that goes on this earth. They have six wings, two from their shoulders, two that come from behind their head, and two at their ankles. All of the wings have eyes in them. This is a representation of one of those wings. I did not decide what to put on the book cover. I was told what to put on the book cover. This is a representation of one of those wings of the living creatures. Those eyes all move individually of each other. They never stop moving. It is very awe-inspiring to stand in front of them because even when they have their backs turned, they're still looking at you. Their feet don't look like normal feet. They're sort of like hooves, but not completely. I don't know how to explain that. There's some things I just cannot explain. They do have arms and hands, and they have a holy purpose. They also play a part in the end times. If you will read the book of Revelation, I know a lot of people don't like to read it because they don't understand it. But there are parts that you can understand. So I charge you, read it and find out what these living creatures are going to do. I have seen other creatures like that on earth, not them exactly, but they did have eyes in their wings, but their feathers were taupe colored. I have seen them come over the tops of sanctuaries during the service. The ceiling opens up, and they're so huge that the wing covers the entire ceiling area. Their eyes are looking at the hearts of every person in that place, to see if there's somebody that God can use, that he can trust, that wants to know him. Don't ever think that you're not being watched by heaven, but it isn't just so that they can correct you. It's because God is looking for people he can bless, that he can exalt, that he can empower. Everything is recorded in heaven. This color that's on the book cover, this teal and this green color, that is the color of the rainbow around the throne. The word of God says that there was a rainbow around the throne like unto an emerald because John didn't know how to say teal. There is a light emerald color to it, but most of it goes into this blue-green. It is absolutely beautiful. It's a very special color. Even today, when we see things made out of it, it just pops. It stands out. I can look across here and see every single person that's wearing that color. God loves it. It's one of his favorite colors. So all of you run out and buy some teal. If I had my way, that would be the color of my hair. But I didn't get to choose pink. And, you know, I wasn't exactly happy. By the way, it was not my decision. People are really getting a really mindset change today. God wanted me to have pink hair. I was not a pink hair person. I was a business person. I worked with CEOs for over 20 years, and I loved it. You cannot look professional with pink hair, no matter how hard you try. And it doesn't matter what you put on. You can have the nicest, you can have a $500 business suit, the nicest pumps and heels and purse, and you still do not look professional. They think I'm a rock star singer, trying to look preppy. They think I'm a party girl. I mean, I have been called many things because of this pink hair. I don't care what anyone calls me. It's turned out to be the biggest blessing I've ever had. I'm telling you, if you want a witness and you don't want to start the conversation, get pink hair because it works. In the throne room of God, there are people celebrating nonstop all the time. I've had people tell me, oh, I think heaven's no. Heaven's not going to be like that. We're going to be like monks because it's so serious and profound. And we're going to just follow God around all the time. I think that he would fall asleep. Because you know what? He doesn't want that for his people. You can worship him in your everyday life. In heaven, when you do things, even the fun things, it's worship. Because you're doing things and using things he created for you. And let me tell you, when you get to go there and do them, you do glorify him because they're amazing. People glorify God all the time in heaven. It starts a chain reaction. You cannot help it. It gets on the inside of you because it's so wonderful and awesome to be there. It is an amazing place. In heaven, the people do all kinds of dance in the throne room. Jesus comes off his throne, which I've also been criticized for. He's too holy. He wouldn't do that. He bled for you and died for you. He wants to be with his people. Why wouldn't he? If we're part of his family, and that's how he looks at us, once you get there, you have already been approved to come. When you have accepted that blood covering for your sins, it makes you holy. It gives you admission into heaven. If you get to heaven, you can come to the throne room anytime you want to. You can dance, you can rejoice, you can go up, and the Father will put you on his lap because he is a Father. Jesus will come and dance with you in the throne room. You are not separated from him in any way whatsoever. He is a holy being, and you do have to awe and respect him. He will never become common to you. It would be impossible. If you ever once stood before that holy presence with that fire and that glory coming out of his being, and he cast his eyes at you, and those waves of hot, fiery love go through your being. People have said, you couldn't have gone to heaven. You didn't die. Yes, I did. You could not live and remain the same. Your flesh, your person, your will, your mind, your opinions, they would drop dead before the throne of God because you would see and know the one who created you. I didn't die to go to heaven, but I die every day of my life to reveal it. And it's worth the price. I know the Lord came and told me when he asked me to write the book, he said, some people are going to hate you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to try to make you look like a fake. But I know you won't care because you died a long time ago. But people will love you. They will honor you because they'll know I sent you. They'll be so grateful to have the revelation of our home. People will want to give you gifts. They'll want to chase you down the street. And I know that you will never take the glory. And I won't. I won't touch it. You know what? I'm no more holier than you. I may have been to heaven. That's my assignment. You have an assignment. It is just as important to the Father that you complete yours that I do mine. I love people. I love to be with people. I don't care who you are. I don't care how many they are. If I had my way, I'd come and sit next to each and every one of you. Because I love to know about your life. I'd like to know your name. I want to know where you're from. I was like that from the time I was young. My father was like that. My father loved people. He'd go out and find people in boxes, and he'd drag them home because they had no place to live. We already had a family of 15. I would think that'd be enough. I think we operated Heaven's Hotel. We never knew how many people would eat at our table, and we didn't care. Sometimes we took our food off the stove and gave it to people and believed God to bring us more. That's the kind of life I was raised in. I'm not saying we were always perfect. You can imagine what it was like living in a house with that many people. I had 8 brothers. Thank God he gave me daughters. That's all I can say. We learned long-suffering and perseverance because we had one bathroom. And we all had to share it. There was always a line. We learned how to stand in lines. We learned how to develop patience in our life before we ever got out of home. If you didn't, you were in big trouble. Because none of them cared if you were whining or complaining. We all wanted to share what we felt about things. All of us are anointed to speak. I cannot sing or dance. All 3 of my daughters take dance. They do dance ministry. They have for 20 years. I have been thrown out of jazzercise classes. Sometimes I'm lucky I can walk straight. But that is not my gifting. I cannot sing. I'm tone deaf. They used to make me stand next to my father in church because we both sound like frogs croaking in a pond. We made a joyful noise, and the only one who enjoyed it was Heaven. So I'm not going to sing for you. And he's never made me do that. Thank you, Jesus, you won't. I've got to say that to make sure he's not going to make me do it next. But, you know, he's done just about everything to humble me. He made me grow up with that family that started it right there. It was enough to share one bathroom with all my brothers and sisters. We shared it with an alligator named Charlie. Because my older brother, was continually dragging things home out of the ditch. And he did bring an alligator home one time strapped to the seat of his bicycle. I was with him while he walked him home, and I'm thinking, what is this going to mean for me? You know, because we ended up by taking care of him. He lived in our bathtub. So you had to sit there hoping that he wouldn't cause any ruckus while you were in there. And then at night when it was time for our baths, you had to take him out, scrub the tub. Then everybody took their turns. You scrubbed it again and put Charlie back in there. I was glad he only lived 3 years. I won't tell you all the other pets we had, but I know that they have created Heaven's Zoo with them. And I just might as well just drop this in right now. Yes, your pets go to heaven. The Father had me do a 400 people survey before I ever wrote the book. He said, you have people answer one question. What would you ask God if you could ask him one question? We went all over the country, all age groups, ethnic groups, and we went from age 5 to 95. We got the 400 surveys in, and then we separated them into groups. 1/3 of all 400 people asked if your pets went to heaven. So if you think people don't care, you're wrong. They care very much. It has nothing to do whether they have a soul or not. It has everything to do with the fact that you love them. He wants to give you the desire of your heart in heaven. And I'm telling you, from reading the surveys, I know the hearts of people. And it didn't matter if it was little children. It didn't matter if it was somebody who was 90. And guess what? Even the teenagers, even the boys, 17, 18, and 19, said they would be devastated if their dog or their cat or their parrot was not in eternity with them. And they never show emotions. We had a lot of awesome questions, but 1/3 of all of them asked that. I would have done it just from the surveys if I was God. But he does give you your favorite pets in heaven. They're all waiting on you. My Father is taking care of all of ours. That's why he has a ranch with a mansion on it. And I can tell you specifically, I saw pets that we had when we grew up. When my dad was 60, we gave him this little pig. He had retired to this farm, and we gave him this little pig. He named her Sally. The day she died, she weighed 1,100 pounds. He got a forklift and buried her. The neighbors thought they were going to have barbecue. No, they would have been the barbecue if they'd have touched the pig. He loved that pig. He built her a nice pen. She had her own shower. She was very intelligent, and I don't know if you know this or not, but according to scientists, pigs are the smartest animals on the earth. it makes up for the way they look and smell, I guess. And they do. They really can teach them all kinds of tricks. They learn very quickly. I know you're saying, what does this have to do with heaven? I'm telling you what it has to do with heaven. He cares that you care. Your homes and your properties are amazing. Everything you could ever think of or desire is so much more fantastic than here. You don't give up anything down here for God compared to what you get up there. When you go into the throne room, people will literally grab you and start dancing with you. You don't have a choice. There are no wallflowers. And even if you never wanted to before, you will love it. And you will automatically know what to do. That's the good news for me, because my husband, every time he dances with me, I step all over his feet. And I love it. I still dance. I just step on his feet. And he makes it look so easy. I still can't get it. You know, I can move the top half of my body, but the bottom half won't move at the same time. So I have to move one to the other. And my daughters beg me, don't dance, Mom. Don't do it in front of me. Don't. Just please don't do that. So God loves dance. Did you know it's one of the highest forms of worship? Read Psalms 149. That's what it says. It names the high praise, and dance is one of them. It says it breaks the enemy apart, and it puts him in fetters of iron. That's pretty powerful. You're using your entire being to worship him. And the enemy took it, and look what he's defiled it. That's what he's done with most things on this earth. A lot of things that are on this earth are already in heaven, have always been there. He knew it. He copied them. He can't create anything new. And then he defiled it to insult God in all of heaven. And then he uses people to do it, these wicked things, so he can hurt God. He can't kill God. He can't touch God. So that's why he attacks his people. And do you know he calls everyone his children? The vilest sinner can be set free. We all came from God, and the next thing I'm going to tell you is going to give you a really big revelation where we came from. In the book of Jeremiah and in Psalms, it talks about how God knew us before we were born. He isn't talking about looking into the future and seeing us. He's talking about literally, you were with him before you came to this earth. He knew every day of your life before you were born. He even wrote it in a book. Read Psalms 139. That's what it says. He knew Jeremiah and formed him in his mother's womb. He knew him before he was put into that body. A lot of people have always wondered where life came from. I'm about to tell you. It was one of the most amazing revelations he gave me. When you look at the Father on his throne, you cannot see his face. It isn't because he doesn't want you to. It's because of the holiness and the glory that engulfs him. If you will look at this burst of light up here, it doesn't even do it justice. It's an example right here in the corner, this left-hand corner. Is that the left-hand? I don't know, my right and the left. Okay. You will see the most glorious light, flames of fire, heat from his glory emanating from him, but you see something else. Out of the Father flows all life. Around his face and around his being and out of this light are little spirits. That's where you came from. And they actually talk. They're coming in and out of God, and they're saying, send me, send me. I want to go, send me. They want to become a human being so they can accept Christ, so they can praise him from here. That's where you came from. When conception is done, he takes one of those spirits and he places it inside of that. It becomes a living human being at that moment, not 9 months later when a baby is born. And I can tell you that. I know absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, that's when life begins, because I have been to heaven's nurseries where all of the aborted and miscarried babies are taken care of. There are millions and millions and millions of them. It's one of the things that heaven is not happy about. But not one baby has been lost. And you want to know the beautiful part of it? You get a second chance. If you aborted your baby and you repent and you come to know the Lord, when you get to heaven, you get your baby. They grow so slowly that by the time you get there, they're still young. You get to finish raising them. And you know what else? They don't miss their destiny. That is the greatest cry of a parent who's ever lost a child. They'll never have their destiny. That's not true. God wants you to know he did not take any of them, but he knew the day they would come home to heaven, so he planned their destiny in heaven. You see, you live a real, literal life. You don't float around on clouds. It's not, you don't have it. It's like people think, I have no purpose just to be up there and float around or worship God. No, it is a literal place. It isn't the imagination or mind of every person. It's not different for every person. It's a place that's established. It's been built. If he made you a mansion, and the word says he did, then he furnished it with something. If he gave you a place to live and stuff to live with, why wouldn't he make places for you to go? It's a literal place. When these children grow up, the giftings they were supposed to have, they still have them. They're without repentance. That means you can't avoid having them. They're always going to be with you. If they were supposed to be an artist, they become an artist. They paint in heaven. If they were supposed to be a dancer and glorify God with that, they still become a dancer. If they were supposed to be a potterer, if they were supposed to be a jeweler, if they were supposed to be a fashion designer, if they were supposed to be a build anything, a carpenter, that's what you do up there. If you have a servant's heart and you like to serve people and wait on people, then you're going to do that up there. But it's not a job. You're using your gifts. It's something you love. If there's something you really love to do more than anything else in the way of an assignment or a job, that's your gift. In heaven, you still use it, but you don't have to pay for anything there. So what you do, what you make, what you provide for, you give it to people. If you're an artist, you have your own gallery. You have your own studio. You have everything you need to produce that artwork. And they even have things up there that you don't know about that you can use that are amazing. These places are not in another part of heaven. It's not like you have to leave your home to go to your place. It's an extension of your mansion. I've seen them. I saw a woman who was going to teach piano to children. She had this amazing, huge mansion. And as an extension of that, she had this studio about the size of this room. And it had 25 grand pianos in it. Hers was on the platform. It was made out of white and gold, and I mean real gold. This lady was 96 years old. She was about to go home to heaven, and God showed me her mansion and her studio. And he showed me one more thing. He showed me a little girl that looked like she was 4 or 5 sitting on her doorstep. She had beautiful red long hair. She had a big bow in her hair and this pretty little outfit on. And I said, who's that, Lord? He goes, that's her daughter. She's going to be surprised. This lady was 96 years old. I didn't know her personally, but I got information and found out this about her. All her life, she wanted a child and couldn't have children. I found out that she taught piano all of her life to children. She all her life wanted somebody to call her own. She was married 5 times, outlived every one of her husbands, but never had that child. When she got to heaven, her child was there waiting on her. Her friends asked her, did you ever lose a child? You know, because I told them what I saw. They said, did you ever lose a child? Was the one that you had that maybe you lost or something or that died young? And she said, the first year I was married, that would have been about 80 years ago. She goes, I thought I had a miscarriage, but I wasn't sure. So now she has a daughter. You don't understand. You don't understand how much he loves you. If you could feel that love, if you could stand before him, you would love each other the way he loves you. He loved her enough to keep that little girl for her. She knew about it before she died. She even named her because she chose to believe that God is really that good. If you have had an abortion, please repent. Those children know the very moment they die that they were aborted. I don't care how big they were, if they were that big. Whatever size that flesh is, that's the size of the baby's spirit. I have seen an angel hold 6 babies in his hand. Those babies don't have to wait till they grow up to have understanding. Your spirit is an eternal thing. It already understands and knows. So when they leave their little bodies, they know who their parents are. They know who aborted them. They know they were not wanted. When they get to heaven, Jesus heals them. There's a place where they're received and they're healed completely, totally, utterly. They then walk in love and peace forever. They're then taken to another place where they're dressed and clothed and loved. The places that these babies stay in is one of the most beautiful places in heaven that I have ever seen. In my book, there's an illustration of this place that doesn't even do it justice. It's one of the largest facilities in heaven, and it keeps growing. Out of these walls that these in this building, they're shaped like big domed buildings. They're just tremendous. They have these beautiful seashells that come out of the wall. That's the baby's little place. They have the most beautiful fabrics and ribbons and flowers embellished on this thing. Over the name of the shell is the baby's name. If you miscarried a baby and you name that baby, it has that name. It's known by that name. It wants its name. It means something. You wouldn't want to go through life not ever having a name, no identity. So if you miscarried a baby, please name your baby. They have a ceremony in heaven where the babies are taken before the throne and officially presented with their name. They know and realize that you have then recognized them as a member of your family, and they celebrate. They are excited that people down here on earth realize that they really are living, not down here. They're up there waiting on you. If you miscarried a baby and you name that baby and someone says how many children you have and you have 2 already, you tell them you have 3. Because you're telling the truth. It isn't lost. I know we use that term, but it's not lost. It's living in heaven. And when you go there, you're going to get it. Some women, several. Because some women don't even know they miscarried babies. He said that's going to be one of the biggest surprises when we get to heaven, or the women are going to find out how many children they have waiting that were theirs. Even the in vitro fertilization, is that right? Close. When they do that in the labs, and that becomes a living human being on that little slide, that's a baby. It's still a living human being. Otherwise, they wouldn't plant it in the woman's womb to grow and become a baby. So even if they make several attempts and the baby doesn't grow and she loses it, they've got a baby waiting in heaven. Life begins at conception. Those babies are so excited when they get named over their little thing, their cell, they will go and embellish that name. It doesn't matter how many years they've been waiting. The angels give them nicknames so they can have some kind of identity. In the book is a picture of Rami, and I don't know every angel's name in heaven. Don't go get freaked out on me because I don't call angels to me. I do not have angel guides. The only guide we have is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who takes me to heaven. I know some people go, you got to be careful. You know, people have angels come to them and bring them weird stuff, and now they've got religions made out of it. I have belonged to the Lord from the age of 4. I know what is right and is wrong. I know his voice, and I'm not going to follow another. My best friend is the Holy Spirit. I have known the Father intimately from age 5. My Father knew the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He taught me as soon as I learned how to talk who they were. He taught every one of his children the same thing. I chose to walk on the foundation that my father laid and his mother laid before him. That's why I can walk in this arena. because I've seen the power of God. I have seen miracles. I have seen the dead raised. I have seen him create something out of nothing. I have seen him multiply our food, our fuel. He has done it over and over again. We lived by faith. That was all we had. My father was a minister, but he didn't have a church, so he had no one supporting him. It was hard enough to take care of 15 kids. But do you know what? We took in 15 other kids. We raised kids that nobody else wanted. They threw them out. In the 60s, when teenagers were discovering drugs, their parents didn't have any place to take them. They threw them out. We took them. We loved them. We mentored them. We helped them get jobs. We didn't just give them a scrap of bread. We didn't say be blessed and goodbye. We lived the word of God. So I have paid a price to be here. He's the one who decided to take me to heaven. I never asked him. I will tell you this. If you want to visit, just ask him. When he's ready, he told me he would take you. We have already had it happen to some people. We have had people caught up in the heavenly realm already. We've had people who've had divine encounters, angelic visitations, because they received this revelation from heaven. The babies in heaven, when they reach a certain age or stage in their life, they're taken before the throne of God, they have a ceremony, and they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Everyone has to receive him, even the children. They're not left out. They're given the opportunity, and I can tell you, they're some of the most excited converts that they'll ever have because they've been living there. They know what his love is. They know how much he cares about them. I had many attacks come against me to write this book because it is one of the worst threats Satan has had in a very long time. Because when people find out what God really has done for them, when they find out who he really is, when they find out what he's about to do on this earth and what he's going to do with his people, it will become one of his worst nightmares. He tried everything he could to stop me. Even while I was going to heaven, I was still going to heaven. God was still giving me divine revelations. But you know what? I had to live through things just like you. Everything that's common to you, I had to go through, just like Jesus did. We lost things. My cars exploded. They broke down. My family was under attack. I can't tell you how many times they were taken to the emergency room, almost dead. So remember, he loves you. He cares about you. He cares about children. He cares about your pets. He cares about your family members. He wants everyone to make it there. Celebrations go on in the throne room nonstop. And I'm going to quickly share one more thing, and then we're going to take just a quick break. When you die, your spirit leaves your body. You do not hang around on this earth. It is impossible to do that. People who think that they have old family members living in their home or people who died and lived there before, those are not spirits of people. Those are demons. They're called familiar spirits. They can mimic anybody. They've been here for thousands of years. They can sound like them, look like them. Psychics call up these things and say they're your old grandmother or somebody. No, they're not. They're demons. I've had people ask me if I was a psychic, and I said, absolutely not. God has prophets. Some psychics do have true powers. They are prophets that miss their calling because your calling is, well, repentance. The enemy then uses that gift. Some of them actually think they're doing good, but they're not. They have to belong to God so he can use the gift they gave him. When your spirit leaves your body, you're going to go one or two places. Whoever owns you collects you. Whether it's God who sends his angels, they put you in a transport, you're taken up to heaven, and your adventure begins. If you do not, demons come from the floor of wherever you're at or the ground, wherever you've died, and they drag you into hell. You can do absolutely nothing to resist. There is no one that can help you. So you have to make a choice now. As long as you're breathing, You can still have that right to make a choice. At the very moment of death, even if you're in a coma, the Lord could choose to present himself to you and give you a last chance. Some of you do not know that your loved ones made it to heaven. If you have been standing in the gap for them and declaring the scripture that says you and your household will be saved, and you have stood on the word of God, he is not a man that he should lie. He will move heaven and earth to get that person into heaven. I don't care what kind of life they lived. If you've been standing there declaring that over him, he's going to give them every opportunity. He said people would be shocked to find out who made it to heaven. So don't ever say somebody went to hell unless you saw them there. And that's exactly what he told me. So please pray for your friends and your family. It does make a difference. And people are going to be overjoyed to find out that someone made it there that they never dreamed could make it there.